Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Very sad to read this. Never met the guy, but as I was reading the story, I was saddened.
Sad.
Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner has died. He was 58 years old. Way too young.
Yeah.
Way too young.
And he triple one of the toys?
What? He triple one of what?
When he triple one of the toys?
You want to try it again?
Did he trip over one of the toys?
Oh.
In the staircase?
No. No, that's not what happened.
Okay.
He just took a leave of absence for cancer treatment. So I'm guessing this just didn't go well. Hasbro called him the heart and soul of Hasbro. He joined the company in 2000. So 21 years of his life spent making fun things.
Making toys.
Think about that job.
Yep.
Just making toys.
Are you playing? Yes. Good.
Basically Santa Claus.
Except you make money.
Well, Santa Claus delivers the toys.
The
elves make the toys.
That's true.
The headquarters for Hasbro, I didn't realize this.
What?
Rhode Island.
I did not know that.
They're neighbors.
All right, road trip.
I was going to say, AJ, this could be your CEO position.
Right?
I don't want to be a downer on this, but how many billions of pounds of plastic and rubber are sitting at the bottom of the ocean now, thanks to Hasbro?
Thank you.
You know, those toys, a lot of them get played with for 5 minutes. And then they go in a pile.
Yep.
I remember young Chaz would give him something really cool, and then he'd play with the box. Like, Jesus, I could have went out and just bought an empty box.
Well, the empty box is one of the best toys.
Yep. Right, that was the one that the toy came in.
Right, or it became a fort, big enough box.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
And there's always the favorite toy, and then there's the pile of toys over in the corner that never get touched.
Yep.
And I was looking up all of the things that this company has come up with. First of all, under his tutelage, this company bought toys that were the licenses to stuff like Shrek, Lion King, Ghostbusters, Jurassic Park, Avengers, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Iron Man, all the Disney stuff.
Wow.
All the movie stuff. So I could sit here for an hour and list all of the things. So if you have kids or were a kid at one point, you had a Hasbro toy in your house.
Hell yeah.
I think we've all been kids at one point.
I think I still have those toys in my house.
We don't like come out as an adult. That'd be a hell of a delivery. Oh my God, I had a 21-year-old.
Yeah. That would be a lot of pressure.
Yes, it would be. You'd be large. Like there's two people inside you.
Monopoly, I think, is the most famous. Everyone has played Monopoly.
And so boring after a while. It's a game that just doesn't end.
It never ends.
No.
It never ends.
Well, we leave it on our dining room table.
Right.
Like, all right, we'll get back to this later.
Then someone opens a window or turns a fan on.
And then somebody would take some money and...
Yep.
Redistribute. Have all that money?
Yeah.
My Little Pony.
Damn.
Ooh.
What was that noise?
Ooh.
To my left.
What does that noise mean?
My Little Pony. Ooh. All the girls had My Little Ponies growing up.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, but how did they play with it?
What did My Little Pony do?
Nothing. It's just a little plastic figurine, little mane, little tail. They had like pretty rainbows and stars and clouds and stuff.
And then you make it walk by like just having a hop.
And there was a TV show in addition, and like movies and stuff.
That's the genius of this toy company.
Yeah.
They came up with toys, but then they would have television shows.
Around
they would have various versions of the toy. I'll give you an example. So they had G.I. Joe.
Yeah. G.I. Joe!
That became a cartoon, a movie.
Yep.
And
just redid the movie.
And I think a video game, too.
Then they made them different sizes.
Yep.
Vehicles.
So that was exactly what I went to look up, AJ, was the video games. They had a series in the late 90s, early 2000s called Roller Coaster Tycoon. And
I'm not done with G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay.
All right, so G.I. Joe, if you played with G.I. Joe as a young kid, it got weird because all of the G.I. Joes were good. And it got to a problem. It's like, who's going to fight who?
Yeah. Good versus good.
They can't, you know, they... must listen to kids.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, we got to come up with an enemy.
A bad guy. Cobra.
So it was G.I. Joe versus Cobra. Well, now we need a whole new collection of toys.
Of course.
Genius.
Right. And if you recall, the first G.I. Joe basically had Ken's head on it. Ken from Barbie?
Yeah.
He had that look. He had that look, the plastic hair and everything. And then eventually, all of a sudden, the hair. He had the hair with the beard.
The beard.
The kung fu grip.
Kung fu grip.
He presses back and he chops. Wah-dah! Yep.
Yeah. But then whatever was in the news, like we sent someone up in an Apollo mission. Okay, we need a G.I. Joe astronaut. And whatever it was. Like, wow, how much money did they suck out of my father just for that?
And do you recall the offshoot of G.I. Joe that was Big Jim with the sports camper? Big Jim, sports camper.
That's right. Phil, can you find that commercial? Then we'll get to what you were talking about with this game.
There's Big Jim, and he had an African-American friend also.
Big Jim's World of Adventure starring Big Josh with Talking Cat Pack.
Wait, why is Josh in the Big Jim story? Why was Josh?
Because Josh is his best friend. They go camping together, two muscular guys in the woods, together, alone.
Huh.
Jim's World of Adventure starring Big Josh with Talking Cat Pack.
Yeah, unload the Big Jim.
What'd he say?
Here.
Let's make camp here.
How did you understand that?
I didn't understand that at all.
Oh, you know. I speak doll.
Yeah, unload the Big Jim sports camper gear. Big Josh says,
bring the boat. I'm waiting here.
And you know the dinner will soon be here. Big Josh says,
let's find some firewood.
Now this camp is looking like a good camp should. Big Josh with Talking Camp Pack is sold separately. Big Jim sports camper.
What do they get, like an Elvis sound like?
Yep.
We want a guy that sounds like Elvis.
That's right.
Big Jim.
Camping.
I was Elvis's neighbor. That's how I got the job.
And everything rhymed.
I said, thank you very much.
Well, things rhyme in songs, no?
That wasn't a song, though. That was the dolls rhymed. What Jim said and what Josh said rhymed.
He's the king of the road.
This is the big camper.
Unload.
Okay, let's unload.
Big Jim sports camper.
I wanted the camper.
It's gigantic.
Wow, look at all this gear.
The action's here and you got all the gear. Big Jim sports camper.
Let's set up camp.
Big Jim sports camper. Comes with all the gear you see right here. Big Jim and...
A waste of money.
Yep.
There's so much more.
Didn't last very long, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they have a picture. It's like, it comes with all this stuff. It's like, that was like a third of what you showed.
What was that game you were talking about?
Roller Coaster Tycoon. So you basically build an amusement park. And you could get as detailed with it as you want, where you can build like each twist and turn of the roller coaster. You could just buy like pre-made stuff. My sister and I spent hours fighting over who was going to get to build like the next attraction.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why we spent so much time. Like, you look back, it's like, wow.
So
that
you
was
would just
so
keep
dumb.
Adding on to the park?
Did you go to court?
You just keep expanding. And the whole point is to make money. And every time you buy an attraction, like, it costs like a whole bunch of money, not just to buy it, but also to run
wait,
it.
Oh, I remember this.
It was great. It was great. And my favorite part is that if you put too many loops on the roller coaster, everybody would come off and vomit.
Nice.
So there'd just be like this pile
that
of
was
like,
the goal.
Like green pancakes everywhere. That's how they animated it.
Green pancakes.
That's what it looked like. It was just all of a sudden you just...
That's right. Young Chaz had that game.
It was great.
Yeah.
For like, I don't know, 3-4 years, it seemed like everybody was playing it. And it was just like, we're done with this.
Yeah, Hasbro also came up with Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Where are they storing all their money right now? There has to be some giant, giant facility that's just piles of money.
You open the door, it all falls out. Ah, money! Ah!
Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Oh, my God, my childhood.
Yep. My cousins had that. That bulb got so freaking hot.
Oh, my God.
And the cake that it made was never fully cooked. It would be crispy on the outside, the inside all mush.
Yes, yeah. I could never get mine to work.
Because
wasn't that the original chocolate lava cake?
Eventually, I had to call it something, yes.
Like, what are we going to call this?
I'm a lava.
The inside's lava. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's boiling hot and not quite solidified yet, yes.
Apparently,
like magma.
Hasbro had an estimated $5.1 billion revenue this year.
Revenue.
Wow.
Yeah.
1 year.
It's not even over yet.
Well, you
we
figure
didn't even hit the big time of year where they start selling.
That's
toys.
Right.
Well, you figure the pandemic, like a lot of people have toys and stuff to amuse themselves in the house.
Maybe.
The Easy Bake Oven.
Yep.
I didn't have a sister, so like if I went over to a friend's house, you know, I might see one.
Yeah.
I tried the cake once. I'm like, oh. I'm a dessert person, but this is garbage.
Yeah. It was basically like a big cookie.
Did you eat the cake, Ashley?
No. It never came out right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like a 60-watt or 90-watt bulb we put inside. Inside a plastic thing with metal inside.
Right.
Basically, it was a fire hazard waiting to happen.
Yeah, they couldn't possibly still be selling this, right?
I think they do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's definitely different
I think they still have it, yeah. It's probably more safety features than back then. No more sharp metal objects
there
to like put inside
so
and burn
metal.
Your finger on. Yeah.
The number one safety feature should be don't eat anything that comes out of this oven.
Yeah.
There was all these different things we could eat. Remember that there was that some kind of creepy crawler thing that like you made and you got to eat them afterwards? Yeah. Or some kind of candy maker where you got to eat it.
Since and that was before we figured out if you eat something toxic, you might die.
Or your kid's born with four heads. Yep.
Oh, yeah. They still have the Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, yeah. That's not going anywhere anytime soon. No, that's staying.
It does not look like what it used to look like.
No, I'm disappointed.
It looks like one of those old school clock radios.
Really? It doesn't look like an oven?
They have one for pot brands called Easy Baked Oven.
It is very, very like rounded in shape. It looks like one of those like late 60s like little clock radios where it's like kind of got a funky shape to it.
Oh, funky.
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 Easy Bake Oven.
But yeah, it's still got that little metal tray, AJ.
Yep.
I wonder if I still have mine.
I don't know.
Ma?
Eh?
You text your mom and ask her?
Do you know what an oven looks like?
Yes.
James in Wallingford.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy hump day.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. What's up, man?
Hey, how about the Hasbro Light Bright?
Yes, they are Light Bright, right?
Light Brights, yes.
Yes, Light Bright.
Yep.
I love Light Bright.
And I believe it was Hasbro that made the sit and spin also.
You did say sit.
Sit and spin, yes.
Although that would be a funny toy, right? A toilet that spins?
That would be cool, yeah. Hmm. Well, sometimes they did after a night of drinking.
The sit and spin.
Yep.
All right, thank you, brother. The Light Bright never got into. I feel like that was more of a girl's toy.
Yeah, it was.
I loved it. I used it all of the time.
Although you could use the Light Bright.
You used it or played with it?
Well, same thing. Yeah, played with it.
Okay.
And then you'd take the paper off and all the little pegs out, and then the paper would be all bumpy and fun.
All bumpy and fun.
I gotta look this up. I forgot what it was all about.
Light Bright. It was so great.
Basically, it was a board. The little pegs were like different colors, like yellow, green, red, blue, whatever. And when you plugged them in, being they were translucent, the light from behind would make them each one like light up.
Okay, I'm looking at pictures.
You can write like dirty words and stuff like that.
No, you can make pictures.
Or dirty words.
Well, one of the ads they have or images they have for it on Google is the creepiest clown.
Okay, that's why I never bought one.
Isn't it every clown?
Clown face is horrifying.
Isn't it every clown creepy?
Oh my God, they still make them. I'm ordering them.
Of course they do. Yeah, the stupid song. Light Bright, making things with light. What a sight. Making things with Light Bright. Yep.
6 o'clock, I'll text Ashley. We get that guest for tomorrow? No, but I made a great sailboat.
Yeah.
You want to see? Look at the turtle.
Here's a picture.
You can stay home and play with it all you like.
I'm bringing it into work.
Tune In is brought to you by Light Bright.
Big
Turn
Jordan?
On the magic of colored lights. Light Bright from Milton Bradley.
Oh, Milton Bradley made it. That Hasbro.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Freaking guy from Hasbro dies and you got to bring up the competition.
Milton Bradley.
He's spinning in his casket.
That's what
right
killed
now.
Him, yeah.
Mike the Uber guy.
Good morning.
Morning, you.
Good morning.
We're Shrinky Dinks, Hasbro.
Shrinky Dinks.
Wasn't a cold pool?
that could be a movie in the 80s.
Shrinky Dink.
Shrinky Dinks.
Yeah, those are things, you know, used to color them, you put them in the oven, they'd shrink. They become like almost like keychains and things like that, little plastic toys.
You just made it over the finish.
They involved a lot of things with ovens and heat back in the day.
Science projects.
Yeah.
Have you looked up Shrinky Dinks? We don't know if that's Hasbro. We're talking about Hasbro toys.
Yeah, Hasbro
CEO
only.
CEO died at the age of 58.
So Hasbro owns all of the products made by Milton Bradley.
Oh,
oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Wow, they bought another company.
So they are Light Bright.
Okay, cool.
So by they're extension. Really it. They're really it. Just forget it. If you want to make a toy, you have to go pitch it to Hasbro.
Exactly.
Kenner, you're not Parker
get
Brothers.
Shelf space.
Yeah, Kenner, Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley, they own all of them.
No wow. kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
The major conglomerate.
What fun is that when you go to work and there's no competition?
None.
Well, I guess that's like us.
I was going to say, that's us.
You've heard our breaks.
Yep.
Rich in Waterbury.
One of the best things ever invented, the Frisbee.
They made...
That's Whammo.
But, oh yeah, right. Why did I think...
Oh, maybe they own that too.
Well, I was curious, yeah.
Sorry, I was wrong, it's but possibly. I love it anyway.
No, that's okay.
No, Frisbee's awesome.
We won't keep it to Hasbro.
That got me through high school.
Too technical, too difficult. The Frisbee.
Yeah.
Used to de-seed and stalk weed.
Yep, exactly. Carry
pop
Cheerios.
People in the head.
Right. It becomes a plate if you forget one. Yuck.
Yeah, I got pretty good at the Frisbee over one summer.
That was basically my go-to thing to do in the summer was Frisbee.
But you couldn't play it by yourself.
No, you can't. You have to have somebody with
Frisbee.
You. Right.
You try to throw it, and then you'd run to the other side of the field to try to catch it.
Well, no, you can throw it. Someone naturally going to throw it back at you, so you're kind of playing with somebody.
Or you could get a dog who could run it back to you.
And it's all wet with spit.
I'm always fascinated, though, those guys who could, like, really wing it on the beach. And
oh,
the dog is just, like, full gallop going after it. Launches into it. Oh, I could watch that for hours. It's so fascinating.
Where the hell was I? I just saw someone playing Frisbee. They were really good. I probably saw it on a video because I really don't do anything.
Right.
I don't think I was out seeing it. I think I must have seen it, like, online.
Right. In my mind.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, person.
Hello. Mike in New Haven. Hello.
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 Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hasbro toy, Transformers.
Yes. They owned all of the Transformers.
See, I was too old by that point.
And then they turned that into Star Wars Transformers, this and that Transformers.
Right.
The Transformers. Everything Transformers.
Yeah. Right.
Electrical Transformers.
Well, think about the engineering behind that, because it has to be a robot, but then you fold it into like a Corvette or whatever.
A truck or something,
or a
truck. Yep.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
And then when it's the other toys, too, when they start breaking down, like you said, the Star Wars, and they probably have Barbie Transformers.
I don't think they had Barbie Transformers, although that'd be weird.
I mean, her RV folded out into several pieces, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Like you pull up to the park... And then you have an awning,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I remember.
The roof comes out, and then the bottom comes out with the stairs.
Yeah, the only way she transformed, you tore her head off. Look, now she's headless.
Happened.
Yeah.
Headless Barbies.
Yep. The creepy kid in the neighborhood.
I always felt it was naughty, like when I walked into a friend's sister's room, and I would see a naked Barbie.
Naked Barbie.
A naked Barbie with her legs behind her head.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. Sorry, Barbie. I can't look at you. You're naked.
Yeah, Ken's having a cigarette. Smoking Ken.
Jim in the truck.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Game we used to play all night and drink was Risk.
Oh, Risk.
That was about the longest game you could ever get.
Yep.
Really? I don't remember. I remember the game. I never played it. Or at least I don't think I have.
Let
me look it up.
I had some nerdy...
I gotta be over here looking it up.
I had some nerdy friends that used to come over and play Risk all the time.
You had to think too much. It wasn't fun.
And you had to drink.
Oh, this doesn't look fun.
We'd drink Moosehead beer and play Risk.
What is this, some kind of strategy?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you had to conquer the whole world. If you started it, well, it was long. It was a lot better than the nerds playing Dungeons & Dragons.
I hear you.
You guys have a good one.
You too, man.
Thanks
so much.
Yeah, this almost looks like a complicated Monopoly.
Yeah, it's along the lines like Stratego and also like this. It's all like conquer games. Boring.
I heard him.
Yeah.
That's basically the same thing he said.
He didn't mention Stratego.
That's right. You're right. Phil?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, you guys are talking about the Frisbee invented on the Yale campus in New Haven, Connecticut.
Shut up.
With the pie,
pie, they were pie plates. Yep, and the college kids started tossing them around, and they turned into their own thing.
Yeah.
He was saying, I need more pie on this. Who ate the pie?
Yeah, they're old pie tins.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the department I would be in. I would not be in the Transformers department.
No.
Hey, where's that new line of Star Wars Transformers? Oh, I don't know.
But here's a pizza box.
but I have the Frisbee.
Right.
Well, it's looked like that for 50 years. I know. Isn't it great?
Yep.
I'll be over here.
I cleaned it
on the Frisbee. We made it three different colors this year.
Right. Ooh.
All right. Good work.
There's Yay! White. There's Put white, up. Black, and green.
Yeah. President is coming.
Wait, President.
The President. Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me rephrase that. Joe Biden is coming.
Oh, God.
Joe Biden is coming.
Who?
Some people do think he's not the president.
Right.
Joe Biden's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming to Connecticut.
JB on the way.
Two reasons why he's coming. One. Listed in this story, and we will get to them in a second. Connecticut is gearing up for another presidential visit. The White House confirmed that President Joe Biden plans to visit the Constitution State on Friday.
Oh, he's mentioned or what?
Is this Chaz or is this AJ?
Hello?
Chad.
Chad?
Huh?
Is this Chad or? It's Chaz. C-H-A. Well, I got a. It's C-H-A-Z.
Yep.
This is a quote from the governor. Quote. Yeah, I'm real happy that President Biden is coming back to Connecticut. End quote.
Okay.
For what reason?
I love it.
Yeah. There's a reason why?
What do you want me to say?
You owe your lunch?
What am I supposed to say?
Right.
I'm the governor. I'm being a governor over here.
Exactly. I got fires put out over here.
That is the best quote ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm real happy.
And that came from somebody else.
Yeah.
It's like, we need a quote from the governor.
Something positive. I'm real happy.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Tell him I'm happy. Anything else? No.
Tell him to gas up while he's here.
Joe Biden has a horrible approval rating right now. 38% job approval rating.
Ooh.
This according to Quinnipiac University poll.
That's toilet stance, right?
This is from
Bloop.
Someone that works at Quinnipiac in the pollster. It's Tim Miller.
He has a rating of caw-caw.
Quote, it's mainly lowlights. The 38% approval rating is the lowest he's gotten since he became president. So that's got to be really troubling.
In less than a year, not bad.
And he lost ground on trustworthiness. He lost ground on foreign policy, immigration, and the border. So it's pretty crummy. It's a pretty crummy poll for Biden as he heads to Connecticut.
Oops.
Well, this would be a safe spot for him, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, it's mostly a blue state.
Oh.
The White House announced that the president will first stop at a child care center in Hartford.
And why would he do that?
To sniff hair? I don't know.
I was thinking that. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Those pictures are so weird.
I know.
Yeah, who doesn't vote?
Kids can't be mad. There's a meme of him sniffing Annabelle, the doll, and says first time Annabelle was scared.
Is there?
Yeah.
That's funny. Quote, we need 50,000 child care spots because that's what we lost during the pandemic. And we've been using some CARES, All Capital Act, and federal funding to build that back, said Lieutenant Governor Bicewicz. Don't know what that means.
No idea.
Free child care is part of Biden's Build Back Better agenda and his $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. He's touring the nation to drum up support for it and to put pressure on Congress to pass it. If you have to come to Connecticut to build support for something,
you're shot.
Where every one of our representatives is a Democrat, you are in trouble.
Big time. 38%.
Go to a swing state. That's where you need to build support.
Yeah.
These people here in Connecticut, they're all going to vote for your stuff. Now, here's the real reason why he's coming.
What's that?
Former Senator Chris Dodd, his dad was either a senator or someone important, but they're naming part of UConn, the Chris Dodd Center, the U.S. Senator Chris Dodd. No, not the Chris Dodd. It's the Dodd Center for Human Rights.
Ah.
All right. So I think this is named after his dad or whatever. It's the University of Connecticut Storrs campus. So Biden's going to show up for that.
Oh.
So they must have said, all right, so my dad's getting a center named after him. Can you go?
Can you swing by?
Okay. Well, sure. We need a reason. It seems like it's real official why we're going to Connecticut. All right. Well, go to a daycare center.
And gain support.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Harumph.
Well, Chris Dodd was in charge of finding Biden's vice president, so nice job.
Yeah, way to go.
His father, Dodd Sr., was a senator for 12 years.
Okay. That's two terms.
Dodd.
So you won one re-election, then had to bail. Oh, I think he had to go under like under a cloud. It was something weird. He didn't run again, or
was yeah, there a scandal there was maybe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some memory file just got dusted off in my brain.
Oops.
I know.
Well, you have fact check to fill right there.
Yeah.
I'm reading a very long wiki entry.
So the Dodd Center, that must mean federal money combined with corporate money from people who want favors. They shortened it up and just called it the Dodd Center.
Nice. You've been dotted.
How much money did the Dodd family contribute to the Dodd Center?
The whole damn thing.
Yeah, I doubt it. What'd you find out?
Senior Dodd had to leave because it found out that he had converted campaign funds to his personal accounts and spent the money.
Oops.
Ah, there you go.
Yep.
That's bad, right?
It's all
that
about
Dodd.
That
sounds like someone who should have a center named after them.
It's all about Dodd.
That's good.
Yep.
All right, good. All right, well.
What did Dodd did, dude?
I guess I just ruined my chances of talking to the president.
Will you talk to us, really?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have that whole clip?
Yeah.
This is when he was vice president.
Is this Chad or is this AJ?
I'm Chaz.
Right.
Chad? Well, I tell you.
It's Chaz with a Z, sir.
Right.
Then I think in that interview, I asked him if he did his duty. I have a clip of him saying, I have done my duty.
Right. While standing.
Do we have that clip of him choking up something in a speech over the weekend?
Oh, the hairball.
All right, let's play a game. What did he cough up?
As opposed to 600,000 jobs a month.
I think he's stuck between gears.
He turned into a goat.
Is that a mouse?
It's a piece of Lifesaver.
Can you get that fur ball out of your throat?
Any bones in that fish?
I can do that all day. I can do that all day.
Me too.
It's fun.
So, Mr. President, oh, let's see. You want to do a news conference?
Sure. But help.
Let's see if I got a page.
How are those little cakes from the Easy Bake Oven?
Is the coffee too strong, sir?
Hang on. Hold on. If you have a question for the president, call it in. 1-877-764-2535. Have a press conference here. I need cameras.
Okay.
Hold on.
Click, 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 click.
Hold on, this crowd.
All right. The makings of a press conference. I'm Chaz and AJ.
I don't have a camera.
Oh.
How about an old film projector?
That works. It's a newsreel with Joe Biden.
I don't know why we have it. It's all we can come up with. We're recording you with the film. Oh, we have a camera?
It's home movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. President Biden, what happened in Afghanistan?
I heard you recently gave your cat a bath, sir.
Why are gas prices so high? Can you explain to us what's going on at the border?
Who does your hair?
What?
Who does your teeth?
What happened to my crew? What happened?
The crowd left.
It was that boring.
Everybody looks like, all right, we get it. You're going to just say the same thing.
Can you close the door to that hallway, please?
Have the back.
Chaz and AJ.
Let's go, Brandon.
Chaz and AJ.
I have a question for the president.
Okay, go ahead.
Huh?
Oh, my God, really?
Chaz and AJ.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah. What's your question?
I got a question for the president. My wife had Guillain-Barré syndrome. They told her, don't ever get a flu shot because it could kill you. And her doctor said, you might be okay getting the vaccine.
Is this a question or a long story?
Yes.
What's the question?
The question.
All we want to do is play this.
Yeah. It's a comedy bit, not for real. Ask dumb questions right. Like we do.
Do you understand?
Very simple.
Joe Biden, you understand what a comedy bit is? Okay.
Sir, can you drive a standard shift car? Thank you. Are there nuts caught in your teeth, sir? Thank you.
Chaz and AJ.
I have a question for the president.
Okay.
Does he know what day it is?
There you go. See? In the right direction here.
Why is this so fun?
Can you kick a field goal, sir?
Imitate a goat, sir. Thank you.
Wait, I think I have some of these...
Okay.
All right, we'll take another question. Chaz and AJ.
Mr. President, why do you always look at your watch when you go to events?
All right, there's a lot of questions coming in now. But you know what the answer is going to be. So.
Right.
Hold on, let me look here. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Is this Chad or is this AJ?
I'm Chaz.
Right.
Chad? Well, I tell you.
It's Chaz with a Z, sir.
Right.
I have done my duty.
All right.
There it is.
Yeah.
Google it. All people have to do is go Google it.
How to run a country, sir.
Google it. All people have to do is Google it.
How hard is it to be president?
Google it.
Yeah.
Google it.
Chaz and AJ.
Mr. President, I heard you have a clown horn.
There you go, see? Nice.
Chaz and AJ.
Yes, hi. Is this Phil?
Nope.
Biden. Oh, yeah.
Google it. All people have to do is go Google it.
Chaz and AJ.
Now, I've got a question for the president. Is this Chad or is this AJ?
Trigger
Google
ready?
It.
That was an evil laugh.
Seriously.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, Mr. President, did you take your COVID shot?
Google it.
I think we got the point.
Yes.
We ran this one into the ground, but I had a good time doing it.
There you go.
So he's coming on Friday.
Yes.
Going to Hartford, talking at a daycare center, and then going to the Dodd Center.
Nice.
That's great.
Little tour.
Watch the traffic.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Tons it's going to be awful.
Yeah. Road shut down.
Got to come into Bradley, right? Where else are you going to come in?
I would think.
Not flying in Oxford.
No.
Tweed?
Tweed?
If he's starting in Hartford now.
He's a suitman at Tweed.
Yeah, I think it'll be Bradley.
Tweed.
There's a long stretch of 91 that is going to be bonkers. They can't let you on, right?
No.
So every exit has to be closed.
Yep. And sealed
from
off.
From Bradley down to Hartford.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, exactly. I doubt that they would even announce how he's coming in. They might have to shut down roads just as like a diversion. Like, oh, he might be coming in from Pennsylvania. You don't know.
Yeah. They don't. They won't tell us, but the local police will know. You know who knows right now? Foley.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. State police. So he oversees the state police. So they know. And then I think the local towns will know shortly thereafter. Secret Service is here now.
Yep.
So hello, guys and girls.
Hey, how are you? I know it's the job you got to do. Yep. But now Foley's going, don't call, don't call, don't call, don't call.
I know. Should I text him?
I look forward to hearing this man's voice every Wednesday. Joe Myers, movie, I don't want to say critic, movie fan.
Right.
Who,
Movie man.
Movie man.
Movie man.
And he,
Good morning.
He has an awesome, awesome podcast called Now a Major Motion Picture.
Yes.
And it's on Spotify and we're linked up. All right.
Thank
so
you.
We wanted to talk about the top five iconic movie props.
Yes.
This would be, if you saw it, you'd say, oh.
I want that.
That's
cool.
The most famous iconic movie prop I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like you look at it, you know exactly where it's from.
Right, yes. Right. Identifiable. Yes. I know where it's from, damn it.
You're like, that's an iconic movie prop.
Exactly.
I know one when I see one.
Oh, I'm smart.
And what do we got? So you have the top five now.
Yeah, number one, I had to go with the Rosebud sled in Citizen Kane. I mean, the whole movie hinges on it. You know, it's considered one of the top, you know, 5 or 10 movies ever made in Hollywood. And actually, Spielberg bought it.
Really?
10 or 15 years ago for several hundred thousand dollars. So it had great value then. Who knows what it's worth now?
Wow.
Was it a flexible flyer?
Did you see that movie, AJ?
No. That has no. That does not have me written at all. Citizen Kane. Yes, there I am watching Citizen Kane. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah,
your no said it all.
Oh hell no. Yeah. Yeah, no. They don't need me.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you any list that has best movie, it's starting to break away. But that was always the top movie.
Yeah, Citizen Kane.
Always the top movie.
And the Rosebud. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Before we move on, why? Why was that considered the best movie?
So iconic. Why? Why?
Why?
I think, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I think it is a really good movie. You know, Orson Welles was incredible. He wrote, directed, and starred in it. He was one of the first directors in Hollywood to be given total control over a movie. He had the guts to really tell the story of William Randolph Hearst, slightly fictionalized. And the thing people forget, you know, there's a lot of humor in it, too.
There's humor in it?
I think it holds.
Yes.
There is humor
really?
In it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a great story. Of American journalism, you know, it has a historical aspect, but I mean, who knows what the best movie ever made is? I mean, I've watched Casablanca many more times than I've watched Citizen Kane, that's for sure.
So AJ, this story is the guy didn't really start off in a good situation, right? And he loved this wagon or whatever. It was like his favorite thing or some crap.
The sled was his favorite thing. And when he dies at the beginning of the movie, and the nurse hears him say the word. Hears him say the word Rosebud, and the whole movie is a guy searching for what does that mean. And at the very end of the movie, you see his belongings being put into a furnace, and a sled is tossed into the furnace, and you see that it's Rosebud.
And so after all of this, what this guy has done through his life and built up, he like ran for office,
yes.
Did all this stuff, built up these big businesses. It comes down to
a sled.
His most favorite item in
greatest
all of
joy
the world.
His
when
life.
He basically owned the planet, had the world at his feet.
Yep, yep.
It was his sled.
Doesn't he drop something in the beginning? With Rosebud and drop something?
Snow globe.
No, yeah.
Snow globe. Okay.
He drops a snow globe when he dies, and that's when he says the word Rosebud.
See, that's the. See, that was your clue right there. Snow globe and, you know, sled.
Absolutely.
There is a clue. I could have solved it. It could have been a 15-minute movie. It's the sled. Now move on. See, he was much better than the Paul Masson wine commercials.
Okay.
What?
Okay. All right. So, what's number two?
The classics.
Number two, I went with the lightsaber in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Without the special effects, all you would have if you bought it would be the handle, obviously.
Yeah, like a flashlight.
But, you know, it's one of the iconic images of, you know, movies.
Yeah, you're right.
You could pick a half dozen things from that first movie. The Darth Vader helmet,
yep.
Like any of those.
Yeah.
Be like,
yep.
Oh,
yep.
Just
yep.
The R2-D2 yep. Model, like any of those.
Yep. Yeah, if those were real, one has to be in the hospital right now. Playing with it. Ah, damn it, I just cut my thumb off. What? It's the truth. We're all klutzes over here.
Wait, what?
If we had one, somehow one
a
of us would
one.
Mess it up. Yeah, they've actually worked. Probably like when just like firing up, like, oh, geez, did I get you? Yeah. So you just turn it on, goes, all of a sudden you see it goes right through someone's arm. Ah, damn it. Yeah. It's the truth.
I'm sure what happened.
Dangerous.
It is. Not to be taken lightly. It's not a toy.
Just love that AJ's explanations always include sound effects. Mm.
But he leaves words out.
I know.
He's seeing images in his head.
Yeah.
And then it'll go, blah, ugh, ah. I'm like, what just happened?
See, this is why we can't have one here.
Mm.
Imagine him as like a fire safety guy. how do you use the fire extinguisher? Well, you pull this thing, gink, and then you go.
Exactly. Thank you.
We're talking about iconic movie props. First one he mentioned, Rosebud Sled from Citizen Kane, and the second, the lightsaber in Star Wars. What's next?
Both iconic.
Well, I wanted to have one of the killer masks from all those horror movies of the 80s, so I had to choose between the Shatner mask in Halloween and the hockey mask in Friday the 13th, and I went with Friday the 13th.
That was the hockey mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Why that one and not the Shatner mask?
I don't know. I just found the hockey mask creepier for some reason, and I saw more Friday the 13th movies than I did Halloween movies, so it was more vivid.
Okay. All valid reasons.
Yeah, it's funny. If you wear one of those around Halloween, you completely associate it with that. You don't say, no one says, are you a hockey player?
Yeah, no one says it at all, no.
Are you a goalie?
Right, no.
No one says that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's like on the screen for a second, no one's like, what are you watching? Who is that?
Yeah, no.
Like, everyone knows immediately.
Immediately, right.
Run!
That's a good one. I wonder what that would go for. And is there one? There's probably like a million. Yeah.
I bet there were dozens of them. I also thought about the Scream mask in those Scream movies. That was pretty creepy, too, that sort of ghost face.
Yeah. Right.
Was that out before the movie, or did the movie
use it?
Did the movie come up with it, and then it became a thing?
Huh.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I kind of assume maybe that was an existing ghost costume mask, maybe. Who knows?
But that movie put it on the map, because I never saw it
before. That movie put it on the map, yeah.
Right.
What's next?
Next is Indiana Jones' bullwhip in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, so the whip, not the Stetson hat.
Well, that's a great one. I mean, there are several in that movie. You know,
is that a Stetson?
Yeah.
How
and,
do you
of
know
course,
that?
The pistol he uses.
They've referred to it as a Stetson hat.
Who's they?
Okay.
The movie critics?
Really? Which ones?
Siskel and Ebert. Go ask them. Get a Ouija board and ask.
Dead.
Exactly. I'll talk to them at midnight.
Can we check? I mean, Stetson's a popular hat, and you're probably right, but
it
I
is.
Was just fascinated that you knew what type of hat.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Stetson is a brand, not a style, right?
I believe it's a brand, yes.
Okay, because that's a weird, it's not like a cowboy hat.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
fedora almost.
It is, yeah.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
It is in a class of its own. Can we find out something?
I am looking.
I remember like one of them saying, as you see him in his Stetson hat, and then the word Stetson just stayed in my head.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you do have that kind of memory, so I believe you.
Yeah, odd things stay in there, not the good stuff like, you know, finances.
The important
how to save
things.
Money.
Right.
Yeah.
What you just said a moment
house.
Ago. Exactly right. Yeah, that stuff.
Short-term memory loss.
Just the odd stuff sticks in like a Venus flytrap.
Find the brand, but they call it a fedora in this article.
Fedora.
A fedora. A fedora.
And then the crowd went silent.
Well, I was going to look it up, and then I thought that'll take a year.
Just write, Indiana Jones Stetson hat and see if something comes up.
No, that's exactly what I typed in.
No?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think if you see that hat, though, you don't say, that's the hat from Raiders, right? Because
it's very distinct.
Off of his head, it's less recognizable than it is on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
See, I think it's iconic.
In the leather jacket, you wouldn't know.
No.
Right.
No.
The whip you would.
Well,
depends.
Yeah. One of the guys in the office here was even saying that idol that he steals in the beginning of the movie. That'd be
Alan. Oh, yeah. That would be great.
I don't think the rock that chases him.
The boulder.
It's like made out of foam or something.
That would be great. Have that in the corner of your living room. It's a boulder from Raiders.
Whatever you do, don't make it move. Yeah. I just rearranged the furniture. Where'd the cat go?
Think about Harrison Ford. He's in two of these movies that have the top five iconic props.
Yeah. I cannot believe they're going to make a four, and he's 79 years old.
I know.
You know he's not running that boulder anymore.
Right.
Yeah. hopefully there'll be a young guy with him, and then he won't have to carry most of the action.
Start the bus! Start the bus!
Indiana Jones in a childproof cap. I can't. Caps. Why do I got to be caps?
Those are tough.
I can't get the damn cap off.
He's trying to figure out the remote for the TV.
They'll slow the music down. Indiana Jones, his explanation across the living room.
Yeah, they brought in Sean Connery. Then they brought in that young kid when he did the movie in New Haven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the name? With odd name.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Is that Boof LaBeouf? Yeah. What is that?
It's not beef.
I'm not sure.
Shia LaBeouf.
I think it's Boof. Yeah. LaBeouf. Yeah. LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm. That movie was horrible.
Indiana Jones and the Mall Walkers.
It was not good.
No.
That was bad. That was a bad one.
Crystal Skull.
Mm. Our show producer at the time got into it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, big time.
He showed up on scene.
Yeah, he was. They asked for extras.
Yeah.
Jim Amon was Speaker of the House of Time.
So
was in
two
it.
Two people in that movie.
Yeah. Several people.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
This last one is great because it's from Connecticut.
Oh, really?
The original.
Yeah. I wanted to go local, and I picked the Annabelle doll from The Conjuring, which, of course, they then made a movie called Annabelle after that. So, I mean, that is iconic.
That doll is so creepy.
Don't want that anywhere near me.
So yeah, I'm good.
No, you know what's so creepier? Creepy. The real doll, which is in Connecticut.
Yeah, behind glass.
And Tony Spear is doing that thing on, is it Halloween weekend?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yep.
Paracon, yeah.
Paracon.
Paracon in Waterbury.
Mm-hmm. How about parrots?
Nope. And I'm going with Jennifer, Kristen, and I think she's bringing one of her boys, or all, both, and friends. And I told Jennifer and Kristen, I don't want to be anywhere near this doll.
I'll be home thinking you guys.
No. I don't want to be near it.
No.
Like, I don't want to be near it.
Yeah, walk
like,
in.
Not even close.
Your eyes are all blood red going, that's a good look for you, Chaz. Why are there dead birds on the floor?
I think the Raggedy Ann doll, the original doll, is scarier
than
the one they have in the movie.
Plus, yours is pretty smelly, too.
Of course,
too.
The movie's iconic, but that Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
Is creepy.
The Chucky doll, too. That's another creepy doll.
The Chucky doll is very creepy.
Right. There's a new Chucky movie coming out.
Yep.
I saw some promos for that. Yeah, I forget the title, but I think it's a reboot.
Yeah, it's called Up Chucky. He has problems with the stomach.
Phil, can you try to find the trailer to that?
Sure.
The trailer played before the new James Bond movie.
Yes.
Among the 20 trailers I saw before the movie.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Did anything stand out to you?
That spy picture with all the female actresses looks like fun. Jessica Chastain and Penelope Cruz. I think it's called The 355.
I didn't see that trailer.
That's a Gizmo Rind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an espionage picture with all women in it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Women spying. Hey. Who'd have thunk it?
I'm trying to think of what other... you know what we saw?
What?
As a trailer, and Jennifer and I said we have to watch it.
What's that?
Is it Gucci?
Oh, with Lady Gaga.
The house,
yes.
I have to see that.
I have to see that. The House of Gucci.
That
looks good. I read the book it's based on. It's a great story.
Oh, the book doesn't matter.
Who reads, Joe?
No, but I mean, I'm just saying it's a great story about her taking out a contract on her husband. It's really good.
Where was I during
it's
all this?
It's a real... It's based on this nonfiction book that came out a few years ago, and Lady Gaga plays the wife, and Adam Driver is the husband she has killed.
That's the movie Lady Gaga was filming when her dogs were stolen. That's why she was overseas
Absolutely.
In Italy.
You were Gucci.
Yeah, it's coming out at Christmas.
Huh.
Thank you.
Looks great.
Al
Pacino is in it.
Her
a great cast.
Yeah.
No, and he's shouting the entire time.
It looked great.
Gucci!
And Jennifer...
Ridley Scott directed it, so, you know, it looks good.
Oh, no, that looks like a good movie. And Jennifer was saying that Lady Gaga is perfectly cast for this part. I don't remember the original person. Was this person famous?
Not really. No, it was kind of internal family business with the Gucci fashion house. You know, I didn't know anything about it until I read the nonfiction book a few years ago.
Who was the designer who was killed in Florida by
Versace?
Okay, that's Versace. Who I'm Johnny Versace. Thinking of. I'm like, this doesn't. Yep. This trailer doesn't sync up with my memory of.
Yeah.
It was a big manhunt for the guy.
It was a whole different deal. All right.
Well, Lady Gaga's super Italian, so it kind of works. Stephanie Germanotta, I think, is her real name.
Yep. Perfect casting.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Well, as long as she's Italian, that means she's perfectly cast.
Right.
Yes.
Well, she has that kind of aura about her, too. She always sort of looks like a fashionista to me.
She wore a meat suit.
That is true.
I don't remember
the Gucci meat suit.
Right. Yeah, it was a Pucci.
You can only wear that once, and then the flies.
After a couple of days, it's a Putri.
This is the finest gabagool I'm wearing.
Hey, gabagool. Hey, they got a salami over here.
We had folks calling in. We got to go right now, but what were they calling in?
Oh, I don't remember. I had a short list. I wanted the ear from Reservoir Dogs that he cuts off. That was the one that I wanted.
That's great.
On Dirty Harry's gun.
That or the holy hand grenade.
That's
from Monty Python.
All right, Joe, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week. A 1911 Shoeless Joe Jackson autographed photo by Frank W. Smith.
Okay.
Sold for $1.47 million.
Damn.
The most ever paid for a signed sports photograph.
Wow.
I said, you know who we got to talk to?
Who?
Mike Riccio.
The man.
Sports memorabilia expert and owner of Mike Riccio Sports. Why would it go for that much?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good to hear. You know what? You know, the old saying, guys, that it's worth whatever someone is willing to pay. But what's unique about that particular item, first of all, it's Shoeless Joe Jackson. Here's a guy that was involved. You know, he was one of the great ball players, the turn of the century, and he was involved with this 1919 Black Sox scandal where, you know, they supposedly he fixed the World Series or was part of the crew.
He did.
Oh. At the commissioner at the time, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, banned him from baseball after that. But even though the guy played above par during the World Series, it didn't look like he was throwing anything. He was still banned from baseball. So you got a, you know, unique person there, number one. Number two, and this is the new phenomenon that's going on, it was certified authentic by PSA DNA, and they're one of the more reputable companies in the country. And that simply lends more credence to its authenticity once they give their blessing to the card. And also, the autograph itself was graded. It was graded a Mint 9. Now, I remember one year, the year that the Giants, New York Giants, beat the Patriots for the first time in the Super Bowl, I picked up a few helmets signed by the entire Giant team. The only autograph I could decipher was Eli Manning's. All the other ones were scribbled, and if they didn't have their number on it, I would have no idea who the heck these guys were. So that's another phenomenon that's going on now as well, to actually grade the autograph itself. And this happened to be a Mint 9. So if someone's willing to pay $1.47 million, I'm sure the guy's a bright guy and knows what he's doing. But that is certainly a lot of money.
Wow. That's a tremendous amount of money.
Seriously.
But what else is going on in the industry is this whole concept of getting cards in particular graded. You know, during the pandemic had an effect on us as well. People were sitting, we were locked up, and you're sitting home and say, hey, let me take a look at my card collection. And they began to revisit their cards, and they began to send them in to companies like JSA, PSA DNA, and Beckett. Those are probably the three most reputable authenticating companies and grading companies in the country. And the cards began to increase in value. Something like a Michael Jordan rookie from 1986 Flair basketball, it was always in the $1,000, $1,200 range, and now they're selling for like $15,000, $20,000.
Oh, what?
If they're getting a good grade. If it's like an 8, a 9, or a 10, forget about it. So this whole concept has skyrocketed and is, you know, sweeping the country. The thing is, with grading, you're not going to get your card back immediately. There's such a backup
But once it's done, you know, you're going to reap some good benefits.
You have to send the card there? Or
you send it to the company, yes. But it takes forever to get back. Well, they're reputable. They're reputable companies. Jimmy Spence, I've known for years. He has JSA company, PSA DNA.
I've gotten some stuff in the mail crushed.
Companies.
No. Can you imagine that?
Well, it's probably a special courier for this, I would imagine, right?
Well, it would be smart if you did that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Phil?
These cards now, as Mike's talking about, people aren't even waiting to try to find old cards anymore. Like so Mike Trout is a current player in baseball. If you can find a mint condition card just out of a brand new pack, people go and they sell it immediately for $400,000.
Really?
Wait.
Yeah,
what?
Seriously?
He would be one of the premier players that you would want. Absolutely.
Patrick Mahomes, a rookie card of his, recently broke records for selling for, I think, multiple millions of dollars.
How much is the gum worth? How much is the gum worth?
I know. This is what I'm trying to explain.
The
exactly.
card is only
He's
years
still playing.
Old.
Hasn't won a Super Bowl, I know. Yep. Or, no, he has, but
no, yeah. Yeah, so he won one, but lost one.
Yeah, it was right before he won it, I think. So he was like still brand new in the league when it sold. And he and Tom Brady were going back and forth for a while, where it was like his card was the most expensive, then Tom Brady sold for the most expensive. And it just like they kept going because people were getting these brand new cards. They were immediately packaging them where they could never be like damaged or touched.
Right.
So they were, as Mike is talking, like pristine. Condition.
Pristine.
And
it's
only like 5 or 6 years old.
Exactly. It's still like gum dust on it.
To be.
Yeah.
Right. But
with this grading concept, the pre war cards, turn of the century cards, the 52 mantle rookie, and also another concept is autographed rookie cards from Hall of Famers. That has skyrocketed as well. So you can have a Mickey Mantle rookie card in any condition, and it's autographed and it's slabbed and, certified and on and on and on, it's going to go for crazy money.
Wow.
It's unbelievable
that
what's happening
makes
in this
sense.
Market today.
That to me makes
you know,
sense.
Now
Mickey's not signing anything anymore. It's an old card in great condition. Mahomes makes no sense to me.
So
zero.
Well, right, exactly. He hasn't really proved himself. He could be out of football within a year or two.
Seriously.
But I always encourage people, stay with the vintage stuff. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with Mickey Mantle, Sandy Koufax, Roberto Clemente. Those are all solid Hall of Famers.
Proven entities. But I think people are looking at these newer cards as an investment. So if you acquire
but
one.
But it's a risk. It's like buying stocks.
Yes,
you don't know if the company's going to do well.
Yep. Absolutely. But other thing is it's definitely proven not to be a forgery. So there was a real scourge of forgeries for a while. Mickey Mantle was the guy that was like... He was like responsible for like most of the forgeries that were going around, especially if you got a baseball.
In terms of autographs, exactly.
Yes,
absolutely.
You have to be very, very careful.
The FBI got involved with. Yeah, absolutely.
This was a big deal.
FBI.
Yeah, but Chaz, what he was doing was brilliant. He was buying pens from the same time period, so if they carbon dated like the ink or tried to look, they'd be like, this pen's from like
they
the 1950s.
They were going into libraries and taking paper out of turn of the century books and. Well, one case in particular was that Angelo Marino case.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Him and his brother really had like a ringer operation going for a while where they were just, it's like, how do you guys keep coming up with these signatures?
Right. Where are you finding all these cards?
Yeah.
Just came to us.
Well, I still see some of their work floating around, and I had to tell someone recently, I said he was advertising on Facebook an Angelo Marino piece. A Marino piece. I said, I sent him a text. I said, you better take that down. That's no good. It's a fugazi.
What did he think it was worth? And then, of course, it's worth nothing. Now, forgeries don't become valuable at some point because that seems like a piece of history.
It's infamous.
Well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what it did is devalued the card. So if you had a very valuable card that they tried to put a signature on, it immediately made the card almost worthless.
Oops.
Because now it's not that authentic signature.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And a lot of, even the cards themselves, like the Michael Jordan rookie, people think they have them. There's a lot of reproductions of that card. People think, I have a card that's worth several thousand dollars and it's worth nothing. It's just like a repro of it.
Ouch.
So you really have to be careful with everything. So this whole concept of grading, the whole concept of authenticating really cleaned up a lot of the badness or whatever you want to call it in the industry.
But there's YouTube videos dedicate, like they do live streams on Twitch where they'll open brand new packages of cards. And if they get one that's valuable, they immediately package it and they go, this is the card. Here it is. Here's what I'm signing underneath so you can see that this is authentic. So, like, there's a whole business around opening these cards now and then reselling the valuable ones.
Wow. You know, it's insane. But what do you think Shoeless Joe Jackson made in 1911? Like $3 a year? Now I go with 10 of this one.
It
was probably more than the average guy. If the average guy was making $20 a week, he may have been making 30 or 40. You know what I'm saying? I haven't looked it up, but it certainly wasn't. But then again, Babe Ruth in the 1920s was making like $60,000 a year.
Wow. That was crazy money.
And living fat.
And it was more than the president at the time.
Wow. So,
yeah, I remember that famous line, I'm having a better year. But
exactly. So
in terms of dollars, it still wasn't a lot of money compared to what players are making now.
I mean, Google says about $1,100 per month.
Well, it couldn't be much with Shoeless, so, you know.
Who
couldn't afford
Shoeless.
Exactly, yeah.
A month. Shoeless?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
$1,100 a month.
Wow.
You know, it is getting, I thought it was getting, I remember when Pete Rose back in the, I think it was the 80s, he signed a contract for like $600,000 and it was like unheard of at the time. And his reaction was, well, no one put a gun to my head to, you know, to sign the contract. So from that point on, and I think Catfish was the first $1 million guy and George Forster was the first $2 million contract, I think. And then from that point on, it just went nuts, you know?
Yeah, Nolan Ryan, I think.
But good for them. God bless
them,
you know?
Yeah, but nuts is all relative because, you know, if Shoeless Joe had a conversation with Joe Namath, they'd be like, what the hell? But if Joe Namath had a conversation with, you know, Tom Brady or Mahomes, it'd be like, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I know. It is amazing.
What's the most valuable baseball autograph out there now? Babe Ruth still?
Babe Ruth is still the mark, absolutely. And, you know, someone contacted me recently. He wanted to sell it, see what it was worth, and on and on. But we couldn't even read the autograph. That's how faint it was. But even in that condition, it was still worth a few $1,000s. But something clear and crisp on a white ball and a beautiful penmanship, it could go for 40, 50, 60, 70,000. Who the heck knows?
Damn.
You know, depending on.
But wait,
know,
this autograph from Shoeless Joe went for $1.47 million. Is there any Babe Ruth item that would go for that?
Well, yeah. You know, I think in that same auction, I think there was a game-used bat that
okay,
went for
that's
over
different.
$1 million.
That's different than a pitcher he signed. This is just an autograph. On
right.
a picture.
Not a baseball card. It's
not a jersey.
Exactly.
Not
a game used thing, yeah.
You know, whatever it's called.
No
the
DNA
top,
on
the
it.
Top.
Yep.
You know, a cap.
I would say, think that the Ruth game used bat would be worth more than a picture of Shoeless Joe Jackson.
You would
yes.
think. Honest with you.
Yep. Right. Why
you
isn't
know,
it?
Anything game used certainly brings a premium, and especially Babe Ruth. Oh, come on.
Right.
I think there was a letter in there, too, with that Joe DiMaggio sent to Marilyn Monroe that went for about $500,000.
$500,000.
Just to read it.
Letter.
The fact that something is game used, and those people who are listening out there, if you have anything like that, keep in mind you need to get a premium for such product, whether it's a jersey, cleats, bat, a glove, anything like that, always brings a premium.
Wow.
And you, if someone has something and they think it might be worth some money, they can go to you? Do they start with you?
Yeah, you know, contact me. I could point them in the right direction. You know, I work with several of my colleagues are serious buyers of collections, major collections, or even small collections. And, you know, just contact me. You know, MLRiccio at AOL. I still have an old AOL account, but I figured to myself if I...
Can't change it now.
No.
I can't change it now.
It's iconic.
Too many people have it.
Yep.
Is there anything
Everyone
from
left.
The Cowboys that's
my,
worth any money? What's like the most valuable Cowboys player?
Well, Emmitt is always popular.
Emmitt, really?
Yeah, Emmitt is good. Staubach, that whole crew with Michael Irvin.
Aikman, the triplets.
Aikman, and yes, exactly. Yeah. No, convoy, you know, convoy stuff is good because it's not like baseball where, you know, you're a Yankee fan, a Met fan, or a Red Sox fan in our immediate area. Football transcends the country. There are serious Cowboy fans out there, Steeler fans, Raider fans. You know, it's not just Patriots and Giants and Jets. So it does transcend the country.
Mike, since we have you on the phone, you know, it'd be really cool if you gave us something that we can auction off for the toy drive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we did something like that in the past.
We have. Like 18 years ago.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not counting, no. Yeah. You know, we're not saying, yeah.
We should find that item. It's probably worth $8 million. We probably gave it away for $100. Yeah. All right, Joe, thanks for coming on.
That's coming up. You know what?
I'm thinking of Shoeless Joe.
AJ is always in touch with me periodically. Just shoot me a text, and I'll, you know, get something nice for you guys.
Sounds great.
Mike Riccio, sports memorabilia expert, owner of Mike Riccio Sports. We're linked up online. Thank you, Mike.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.